Hey friends, on this episode of the Danny Morrell Show, I gotta tell you something. Never before have I been this vulnerable, this open about my personal life. Something just happened that was transformational for me. I hope it's transformational for you. A friend from Utah, who's actually in the industry, came and we started conversating and we got so deep about my past, my recent trip to Costa Rica, my experience with ayahuasca, everything. We covered everything. Literally, I've never spoken so candidly or so openly about anything before. I'm at a loss for words, quite frankly, which I'm rarely. I just invite you to share this journey with me. It's going to be a long one, but I think there's going to be a lot of healing and a lot of growth as a result of it.
Dude, I just want to say, fucking so grateful to be here right now. When I tried to connect with you last year, it was
all ego. Because I didn't want to connect with you, right? To be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Right. I didn't want to connect with anybody. If you didn't serve my purpose, right. I was trying to talk to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Dude, even God wasn't even letting me land that plane, dude. There was 45 mile an hour
because
wind.
This was meant. This moment was meant. Because I needed to go experience what I needed to go experience.
Dude, there's only been two times in my life that I was afraid on a plane. That was one of them. Dude, the plane was like fucking like this.
Oh,
was,
Ontario? These
yeah,
winds are
dude, it was wild. I'm like, dude, take me away from here. It's okay. I don't need to talk with you anymore.
Yeah. Right? If you don't know what happened, we were supposed to do this and, you know, whatever. But his plane didn't land. He had to leave. They literally tried to like land and then I couldn't make it happen. Whatever. Anyhow, we're here for a purpose.
He's here for a reason now.
Yeah. The trip in Costa Rica is where I finally realized. I realized so much about, you know, who I am. I realized so much about, you know, some of the wounds that I had in my life that I didn't even realize were causing me to act out and to really live this life that, and quite frankly, just do it from the wrong place. Yeah. You know, it's kind of crazy, you know?
Well, I think too, for me, it was like...
And I'm going to go ahead and say the medicine is what helped me. I'm kind of like, I'm weird about talking about it because, you know, I know people will judge and not everybody's ready for it, but that's what really changed my heart.
And you had to go to some dark spaces in order to do that, right?
I had to go through real dark spaces. Yeah. You see, I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was a control freak.
Yeah.
But I'm a control freak. And I'm a control freak because I never experienced love in my life.
Yeah.
See, many people don't know this about me, but my mom, number one, my mom and my dad split.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the oldest in my family, you know, I had my younger brother, Omar, and then I had my baby brother, Anthony, who everybody knows, obviously. But, you know, what happened was that, you know, when my mom was born, her mom died the day after she was born. So, you know, so my mom carried around this lack of love in her own heart.
Oh, yeah.
Her entire life.
Yeah.
So as a result, you know, she literally lived with my grandfather and what is, you know, my grandmother, but it's really my like step grandmother. And, you know, all that was difficult. She must have felt, you know, out of place. She must have felt misplaced, you know. And as a result of that, dude, like my mom had a difficult time showing us love.
Yeah.
Like, I know she loved us.
Yeah.
You know, but she had a difficult time showing us love. So at 13, when your parents split, your mom has a tough time showing you love. Your dad's not around. You got two baby brothers. Guess what happens? Boom. You put on this mask, like, I'm gonna buy us a fucking house.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do it, no one's gonna do it. No one makes $1 million a year. I'm gonna make $1 million a year. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this. Yeah. I'm gonna have the 7 series. I'm gonna. And it's all from a mask of pain.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And like humanity is living like this.
Well, that's where that identity shame comes from, is I'm trying to avoid feeling that pain. Exactly. But what I've learned now is like, listen, pain is guaranteed in this life. Suffering is the choice, like Bruce said, right? So it's like, I can feel the pain now. I can do it sober and I can do it grateful.
Yeah.
And it's not, it doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't make me like anything like that. Right. It just makes me in my experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
But the rewiring of the unconscious mind and the nervous system, it takes some time. It takes some work. to be able to, because there's habits inside of our body, right? That the ego has put in, and what's called the default mode network. I don't know if you, so that's what happens in ceremony, is it lowers the default mode network into the brain. So now all of a sudden anything's possible. And you can
well, it was crazy what happened to me, but it was like the scariest night of my life. The first night.
Yeah.
But it had to happen that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, going back to the control freak part, mm-hmm. I because of that little kid at 13 mm-hmm. that, you know, got stripped away of everything, mm-hmm. I had to be in control of everything because that's the way that I knew I wouldn't feel any pain anymore.
Yeah.
So what happened that first night, dude, is like all control was forced out of me.
Yeah.
Forced. Yeah. Like I don't want to get into detail because I don't want to scare anybody, but it was the scariest night of my life. Yeah. But in hindsight, it's exactly what I had to go through. I had to go through it the way I had to go through it.
It works for you every time the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
How was the Anipi?
What is that?
So the sweat lodge?
Oh, that was dope, dude. You see, it's funny. Like, I heard you say something like it takes time because you have to, honestly, dude, like my transformation has been like.
So the transformation at the heart can be like that in the moment. But the rewiring of the actions, like I noticed you're posting on your social now, meditation. You went to yoga class. Like,
yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
I never fucking saw you do that before.
But look, it's all been, because you got to understand, dude, like I've spent 20 years in seminars, 20 years in giving them and coaching and teaching and so forth and so on. Like what the medicine did for me was it just helped all the knowledge. It just, I get it.
Rounds it up.
And so then it's up to you and your ego to start living life from the heart, or to and I just choose the heart.
So right? so let me ask you this: does the ego just disappear?
If you wanted to, I'll give you a perfect example. Social media for me is a perfect example. Social media for me was a drug.
Yeah.
It was a drug.
Yeah.
Social media, quite frankly, is a trap.
For sure.
It's a trap.
Hit left and right.
But people don't realize it. But social media, Instagram in particular, is a trap. And for people who are addicted to the drug of acceptance, that's the greatest freaking trap
you can. Well, you know what they're really addicted to is the drama.
Yeah.
The storyline. The fucking, you know, we have these voices in our head and it blows my mind, like positive thinking. Fuck, you're positive thinking with the negative thinking. It's still a debate in your head. Just leave the conversation.
Yeah.
Leave the drama.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you can tell, like my social media for a while there was, you know, it had to be like perfect.
Yeah.
This perfect picture, this perfect. Do you know how much money that takes? Do you know how many people you got to hire? Do you know how many people?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was like, who gives it? Look, this is what I have to say. If you like it, great. If you don't, who cares?
Yeah.
You know how much money it takes for these followers and all this bullshit and all this?
For what? Like the purpose is simple. Like I look at my life, I'm here for one reason, make a difference. Yeah. That's it. Make a difference.
Serve others.
Yep.
Help other people.
For what first launched me down my path is a good friend of mine. He was 39, had the Ferrari, he had the Lamborghini, had a nice house on the hill with the pool, with everything, doing millions of dollars a year. February, he's diagnosed with stomach cancer. Mm-hmm. By July 10th, he was dead. I watched him go from just under 200 pounds to 95 pounds, shrinking to nothing. I mean, that's like when it hit me, like, first of all, fuck, I'm going to die one day. Between now and then, I ask myself, what do I want to do before I die? First answer says, I want to be healthy. Not just with physically, I was so shitty. Like I was eating whatever, I wasn't drinking water. I would be like drinking alcohol at 2 o'clock on a fucking Wednesday. I remember literally smoking joints, driving to listening appointments, right? Like, oh fuck, I was so fucking in a bad space, right? Yeah. Because I was hiding that insecurity.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the first for me is like, I started drinking green smoothies every day. I started going to the gym five days a week.
Man.
I started exercising. I lost almost 50 pounds.
Good for you.
And then I could start to get the toxins out of me. And then I could start to deal with even deeper stuff inside of me.
Right.
And I went on to the pursuit of getting really high on weed and psilocybin. And then that's where I discovered the Native American church. And I started going through like real ceremonies, not just like me getting high in the mountains with my friends on mushrooms, but like going through real ceremonies and just being able to do some inner work. And then I discovered a guy named Jack Fontana in New Orleans, taught me holotropic breath work. And for me, that was a medicine I could use every single day.
The breathing.
Yeah. the breathing. And when it's done a certain, excuse me, a certain way, I mean, I'll be in breath sessions for 1-2 hours, and it blows my mind now that like I can literally almost like I hallucinate off of oxygen.
Oh, No. I've experienced that.
And but you know what? I can go back into time, so to speak. And I don't know. I can't freaking prove this. I'm not a scientist, but I have this belief that past, present, futures happen simultaneously. So I can go back into my younger self that like when I remember when I was 5 years old and I spilled red punch in my parents' carpet and I felt like you can get a new boy, right? Like they physically beat me. And I love my parents. And I know they were in a space at that time that they were acting from fear, and I don't judge them at all. But I believed on these stack on events, I wasn't good enough, that like I'm not worthy. And so I had to prove to myself that like I am worthy by getting success in the next achievement and the good grade. And I remember even as a little playing Little League, my coach would say, if you guys had half the heart Colton did, you guys would be amazing. I was like, fuck, I gotta work twice as hard just to be as good
now,
as anyone else.
Now, right. Oh my God. You know what's so funny is like I wanna say something. I think we all have gifts, and I think one of mine is like I get thoughts and like I'm meant to share it. So yeah. I wanna be sensitive to share it. But you know, my mom, God rest her soul, but she died of cancer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can bet you, just think about the two stories that we've shared and think about, you know, the fact that I just shared with basically everybody, what nobody maybe knew, you know, that I hope you're okay with me sharing this, but I think it can save some people. But she carried around that wound of not knowing her mom her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you think the cancer came from?
From the disease.
It came from that. It came inside. From, it came inside. Like,
and we've carried around this for generations,
like, too. Yeah, dude. Like, I can remember, and again, I know my mom loved me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know my mom loved God. Yeah. And I know my mom served other people. And, like, my mom was the one that she was there every Sunday at church. Like, she was faith-driven. Mm-hmm. God bless her. But when it came to showing love to her son, she couldn't. Not that she didn't want to. She couldn't. Mm-hmm. She couldn't because she had that wound in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pretty much guarantee you that your friend had that same wound.
Oh, for sure.
I can pretty much guarantee you, because you don't just die like that.
You know what's, last November, his ex-wife's, she passed away just before 37 from kidney failure and liver failure from alcoholism. Right.
So where does that alcoholism? This is what people don't understand.
That's the identity of
you're
shame.
Not born an alcoholic.
No.
You're not born an alcoholic.
Right.
My dad was an alcoholic.
Right.
So now think about it. Now think about this. Now think about the fact that I have a dad who's an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a mom who's carrying around this wound.
Right.
What do you think my childhood was like?
Where
do you think this all came?
Chaos.
Right?
Just like.
Life and they just think
value.
Of humanity. Think of the rest of the world. Think
people.
Of all of us.
Right.
That's why it's like I came back from Costa Rica. Like, shit, dude. Like, there's a lot of people that need to be helped.
Yeah. You want to know your real gift is to help people heal. Think about that.
That's what.
Like that's like if you can be a signal. Like if someone sees this and says like I'm an alcoholic or I'm smoking weed every day. Like that's what's so fucked about this whole weed push in the United States now. Like it's a drug. To avoid that wound.
Right.
And that wound is painful. But when you can go in and you can sit with it and you can truly feel it, like it's the most beautiful feeling afterwards.
Yeah.
Like pure bliss.
Yeah.
So like my friend that died, he was doing drugs, he was doing alcohol, he was eating shitty, just like his ex-wife was. But it's because they didn't want to deal with that pain.
Right.
They didn't want to go into that wound that they've been carrying since very, very little.
And you know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but you know, now we can talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because like now my perception on the business and everything, it's like build it to get me free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I think when you look
so
at,
good.
I mean, right? Right? Like just build it to get me free.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be free.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in the fucking mountains meditating somewhere.
Yeah.
Like I want to be working on myself
yeah.
so that I can then help other people. You know, if I have events or whatever the case may be, it's going to be about helping people to heal.
Right.
Because when they heal, guess what?
Yeah.
Then they can go out. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, again, I kind of have been doing that this whole time. Because when you look at Relentless, day one is about mindset.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
It was just, I was coming from a different space. We were just talking about this morning. I can't wait for this year's Relentless.
Yeah.
Because now I'm coming from the heart.
So I was talking to my friend Al in Miami because we watched Follow You. And we've kind of been like evaluating like where he's at in his stages. Right? We're like, dude, I bet Relentless is different. I bet the entire business model is going to shift. It's going to come from a space of love versus a space of look how fucking awesome I am in my Tesla driving down the road. not to be a dick.
No,
like, that
I
was the vibe going on.
I take it. Yeah.
But that's the thing is, but there's still business principles. Like when you're growing your business, like it's because so many people watching, they think building the business and getting more following and getting more money is what's going to heal them. That's not the heal. Uh-huh. Like
you got to do the work.
You have to do the real work on the inner world. And that's the fulfillment side.
Yeah. And the problem, you know what the problem is? I think everybody is called to do the work at their own time.
Oh yeah.
Because if I would have been watching this, it's like, look, I'm just going to flat out say it. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got close relatives. I've got people that love me, that know me, that knew deep inside how much of an asshole I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to think I wasn't that big of an asshole. Like, I'd like to think somewhere in there was heart.
Because right.
I feel like people would connect with me.
You had standards, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it was standards, right? I did, right? But I'm talking about, like, you know, like, people that I love and care about that can genuinely see the transformation.
Yeah.
They could see the energy has changed.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they were, they would have asked me about it. And that's okay.
That's their space.
Everybody is.
I think that's the chase. Is like when people judge me, I realize it's about them. It's not about me. And vice versa, when I judge someone else, it's about me. It's not about them.
Absolutely.
It's about what is this lesson for me here in this moment? Breathe through it, absorb it, let it go, and then go serve.
Well, if there are only two things, love and fear, where does judging come from?
From fear.
It's fear.
100%.
And people have to learn that whenever you judge somebody else, you know, it's funny. I had someone leave the company.
Mm.
I had someone leave the company because they heard, you know, what I did in Costa Rica. That's coming from fear. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I'm better now.
Yeah.
I can help you more now.
Right.
But you leave.
Right.
That's not coming from love.
Right.
It's coming from fear.
Well, I think do you openly talk with your followers about Costa Rica or details or like what?
Nobody knows anything. I think people are starting to see the transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing though, is that people start to recognize whether between the lines or you talk about it, it's important to understand that like, if you're going to do that work, you got to do it in a way that's safe, right?
And sacred.
Because, and sacred and connected to that source energy because it's a very powerful, medicine. And I think we need to make sure that people know that.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it's going to be disrespected, right? You're seeing what's going on in the United States today with comparing, you know, using marijuana as a good thing. Recreational marijuana is not a good thing for anyone. Is there healing properties there? Absolutely. Done in the right space.
Mm.
Alcohol. Like, dude, is it a good thing? I don't physically know how it's good at all for the body.
Yeah.
At any level. But now you're starting to see... Even New York University, stage 3 with FDA approval of psilocybin, right? Being used in medicine. It's trying to be passed in Denver right now that having magic mushrooms in your possession is not illegal. Like these are very, very powerful things
people
got to be careful with. They have got to be careful with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't be in the wrong hands.
So just so that we kind of make this somewhat about business, because I feel like people are going to get connected. But here's a guy. How many deals were you doing a year?
So my peak by myself, I was doing about 75 deals a year.
Okay, which is a lot of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, tell me about you. What's been your transformation?
So it started when my friend passed away, right? And that's when I started really doing the work. I went to an event called Warrior Camp. It's a T. Harv Eker event. I went in the middle of the Mojave Desert with the Native American tribe. And like, I had no idea what I was going to get into. That was my
T. Harv Eker.
T. Harv Eker, yeah.
It's called The Millionaire
Mind Guy, right? So he does an event called the Warrior Camp. He has another one that he does in Sanger, California called Wizard Camp, right? So it's this idea of tapping into self-acceptance and self-approval. And really, I found most of my life I was acting as a warrior, like 99% of the time. Because like, there's a fucking wall. Break it down.
Break through.
I'm going to the fucking, I'm there's my target, I'm going, right? Right. What I later learned is like, listen, like, I don't need to be in that space all the time. Is there certain times? Yes.
Sure, yeah.
But most of the time I can come from a space of wizard. So I went there, I was in the middle of the desert, right? That was when I first, you know, went through Native American ceremonies. And like, I remember my Inipi experience was like full of fear, because with the Native Americans, the first round is basically 40 something people pretty much naked inside of this Inipi with the Indian drums. Oh, yeah, why, yeah. And it's so fucking hot as they pull more water on the rocks. And like, I was panicked. And I,
oh, the sweat lodge.
Right.
Sweat, oh, that's lodge. What I did.
Right. And I wasn't sure if those voices were in my head or if other people screaming or if it was the Indian music or if it was like, you know, like I wasn't sure. And I just remember hearing things like, you're going to die. You're not,
oh, dude,
enough.
That's what my
you're,
mind told me.
Too. Like, you got to get out of here. Right? Yeah. The only thing that I could think of was that dude in Sedona that had killed a few people going through a sweat lodge, right? Like,
oh, wow.
James Arthur Ray or something like that. And like, but then I found myself in the fetal position, like on the fucking
dude,
ground.
Dude, I was like breathing like.
Yes, trying to breathe through the ground. Yeah. Dude, but then it hit me like I could. You ever heard of Udo's oil?
No.
There's this. Tony Robbins pushes this oil called Udo oil, but the guy that invented it happened to be in my ceremony. Like, he was just so much light, right?
Wow.
So amazing. But anyways, I remember he said before, he's like, hey, just find the light, man. You'll be good.
Yeah.
And then it hit me. And then the image of my first daughter's birth came in the middle of all these, this darkness. And I could slow down my breathing. And I could slow down my heart rate.
Yeah.
And I could slow myself down.
Dude.
And it would just went from pure fucking fear, like I'm going to die. This is the it. To this is everything.
It's, you know, if I may, if you're watching what a sweat lodge is,
mm-hmm.
And again, you got to do this stuff with the right people.
The right people.
And I'm going to say that some of you are going to judge us because we did a sweat lodge.
Right.
Okay, well, just hear what it is. You're in this little room. I did post pictures of this on Instagram. You're with, you know, I was with 20 other people. And that changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my life because that scared little boy, you know, who was 13 years old, I didn't realize that he thinks a certain way.
Yeah.
And he thinks based off of fear and control, mm-hmm. fear and control. And so when you're in the sweat lodge, guess what happens? You're afraid and you have no control.
Yeah.
The only control you have is if you're going to choose to sit there or to run out.
Yeah.
And I thought the same things. I'm going to pass out. This is too hot. Oh my God, what am I doing here? I'm mm-hmm. going to die. Blah, 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 blah. How long was yours? Mine was 2 hours.
So mine was about an hour and a half.
Okay. So we were there for 2 hours. And I mean, I could just remember learning that I have the power to control my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that my thoughts aren't me. My thoughts are based off of either love or fear.
Right.
And the fear is that little kid, man, that little kid who was afraid of.
Who just needs love.
Who just needs love.
Yeah.
And the minute I was able to do that, dude, I was able to just sit there and, you know, it's hot. Don't get me wrong.
It's so hot.
But I was able to just sit there and just say, okay, take a deep breath. This is, you're going to be fine. And you find so much power in that. So much power in learning how to tap into the real you.
Mm-hmm.
The real you, not the you who was disappointed as a little boy or little girl, not the you who was, you know, molested as a little boy or little girl, not the you who was let down, not the you who was abused, not the you who has been let down in relationships, not the you who has been kicked, not the you that didn't have money growing up, not the you, not the any of that.
Right.
The real you.
The love, the life, the truth.
And when you find that real you,
me personally, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like so tired of feeling anxiety all the time, right? And that was why I would smoke weed. It was to slow my thoughts down or whatever, some bullshit story I come up with, right? But the truth is like I couldn't just sit with the anxiety because I didn't know how to breathe with it. And I remember getting anxiety since I was a little kid, right? Like when the school year would end, when a new school year would start, when the year would end, and even as an adult, when I'm starting to hit multiple six figures, like, can I do this again this next year? Can I do another 75 units this year? Like, can I stay in the top 1% this year? And then just progressively got more and more and more. And then I was like, dude, I can't fucking do this anymore. I'm literally going to die.
See, I was never like that.
For me, that was where I was at.
Yeah. I could honestly say I had always built a business to where the business just kind of came and I was able to just kind of like
Yeah.
Chill. Like, it was good. Business has always been good for me. Yeah. I mean,
and that's what's so crazy is like business is
but I could see how, like, right. I can see where you're coming from.
Like, I think about when I was a kid, I was like, if I could go up and make 75 grand a year, I'm going to be rich, right? Because I wasn't poor, but my parents were working class. And I remember the first month I hit like 165 grand in a month. I was like, wait a fucking second. Like, right. Right. Like, and then it was part of the transformation that then I could realize, dude, money's not even real. Like, the only thing that is real are these experiences internally that your thought patterns are right. creating to trigger either love or fear. Exactly. It's either capturing it or it's setting it free. And it's like, okay, how can I set it free more often?
Bingo.
What can I do to be free? And for me, that became holotropic breath work because I could do that on a regular basis. I could go back and visit that 18-year-old kid that got dumped from his girlfriend and say, dude, it's going to be all right, man.
It's going to be all right.
Like,
it's gonna
be okay. I could go back to that 5-year-old that spilled the punch, like, hey, listen, I love you. I'm here for you. Your parents are just going through some stuff right now. Just love them. Just appreciate them because, in fact, they're the best gift you've ever got here, man. Like, just be there with them. And I could go back and back and back and back. And I still lose the day.
And heal. Right?
And heal. Heal. And heal. What's cool now is like part of this breath work, and then I'll go to the future with my 92-year-old self. And dude, what's he doing? He's loving me. He's appreciating me. He's giving. And then I could be patient.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to build a business, but my purpose isn't to build a business. My purpose is to make the difference.
Bingo.
Give the gifts I've been given.
Bingo.
I can teach you how to build a business. I can teach you how to create financial freedom because that's just money management. That's fucking easy.
Sure. Yeah.
But the personal freedom, like, you've got to go in and do the work. And I can facilitate it for you, but you got to be willing to go in there and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't think I would be ready for this, but it feels like a good space. And it feels like if they were still listening or watching.
Is this live or replay?
No, we're recording. No. But so I want you to be the conduit to ask me about the medicine in Costa Rica.
Yeah, so.
Because I haven't shared, no one knows. So ask me whatever you want to ask me so that I could share with them.
What, first of all, I want to know is if I can go back up a little bit further before that.
First of all, I just need to say it because this has been a little fear-based. So I drank something. I participated in something called an ayahuasca ceremony, which changed my life forever in the most profound way imaginable.
So what led you to say, hey, I'm going to go to Costa Rica, which Costa Rica is beautiful, by the way. But what led you to go say, hey, I'm going to go take this most powerful medicine with grandmother ayahuasca and hallucinate out of my fucking brain?
I was called to, I think.
That's how the medicine works, right?
Yeah, I was called to. I think I was called to for a couple of different reasons. I think some place inside of me wants to say that I've got a real big purpose on this planet. Mm-hmm. And that purpose is to use my gifts and abilities to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see how prior to today was all about helping people to like build business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which that'll still be part of that purpose because it comes easy for me.
Yeah.
But I think now it's to help heal people. It's to help heal
facilitating people. Business is important, right? Yeah. Like, it's not like it's not important. If it's from that space of love. So what did you think or feel? What was going on before?
So yeah, that's a good question. So I had been in a place where I had been spiritually void.
Mm.
There was nothing going on inside. To be quite honest with everybody. I can't believe I'm going to share this. But I was real angry with God.
Mm.
And I was real angry with God when my mom died.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it was just. I felt unfair. It felt unfair because, you know, my mom was just the most faith-filled person you can imagine. I mean, to the point, I'll tell you, I'll leave that up. But yeah, she was just the most faith-filled person you can imagine. And so I had carried a lot of anger inside of me. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, a lot of questions and a lot of like, wait, how could this happen? There's like bad people out there in the world. How could this happen to like a beautiful person, you know? And so as a result of that, I had built up some anger and I had built up. I was just really spiritually void in my heart.
You always been that way? Is when your mom passed?
No, dude. No.
Created that anger.
No, it was probably even before that. You know, probably even before that. But anyhow, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that your spiritual world is, and your spiritual life is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I just had some anger in that issue. So, so what happened was that I was watching my buddy Gerard Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching him, and he's another, like, he means well, but he's like an ego guy. Well, yeah. At least he was an ego guy.
I remember watching his transformation.
Yes.
I remember his old girlfriend was, she was so hot. I was like, dude. And then all of a sudden she disappeared from the social media. And I saw him talking with the beard guy that's, I can't remember his name, like Dollar, the beard oil guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did an interview with him on his podcast. And all of a sudden he starts talking about how he went through this spiritual awakening. I was like, dude, Gerard's going through it.
Yeah, man. So I saw him and I remember just watching on Instagram, just watching, and I was like, just looking at him, and you know, it looked weird because like on the last day he had like pain on his face. Mm-hmm. And all that. So your ego, you have to get past that, what you think is weird. Mm-hmm. Right. And I had to look at his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And his heart had changed.
Yeah.
And I saw it, dude. I saw it in his face. I saw it in his smile, his energy, his sincerity, like everything had changed about him. So I noticed that. And then like a month later, we start talking, like we're on the phone, and I'm like, dude, so what'd you go through? What like weird stuff did you go do or whatever?
Yeah.
And he starts telling me, and this is just me. This is just who I am. If it means growing, I just said, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Which whatever. Is important to have is that growth space to come from.
I'm in. So I told him I'm in, and he hooked me up with One Heart, which is the organization that I highly recommend. And the rest is history.
So you show up, you've got anger. What were you thinking when you're like, you're on the plane, you're going there, you're seeing all these other people there. Like what's going
on? Well, the first thing I remember is when I got there. I have to share the whole story. Jeez Louise, you guys are making me like. What really happened was the night before I get on the plane. Somebody tells me, like I happen to be at a friend's house, and there's a man there who the man had kind of weird energy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like listening to him, but not really listening because I could tell you got some weird energy or not. Anyways, the guy goes, you realize people die doing ayahuasca, right? So it's like he implanted that seed of fear in me, even that was perfect.
Yeah.
Even that, like I needed that because that's how she was going to strip me of my control.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going on the plane, you know, and I'm Danny, you know, I'm landing, I'm cool, I'm open, whatever. Weirdest thing happened was on the plane ride over there, there was a guy sitting next to me. I never spoke to him once. We got off on the plane. We start texting in the WhatsApp group with the group of people. Turns out he's going to the ceremony with me. She taught me a lesson. She's like, I don't connect with people.
Mm.
I need to do a better job at connecting with people. So anyhow, we're there the first morning. Mother Ayahuasca.
Mm.
Yeah. Very weird for me to say because I'm so attached to what people are going to think. Fuck it, is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. You know. And so thank you for that. And so so the first morning, you know, you're there and there's all these people and they're like the nicest people you've ever met in your life. Mm. They're the most loving, caring people. They're absolutely incredible. And, you know, I wasn't ready for all that. So I'm thinking, these people are weird. You know, because when you don't love yourself, you think love is weird,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, you know? And so anyhow, that took some time getting used
real
to.
Real love and connection.
Real love and connection. Real authentic love and connection. Yeah. And so then, you know, we go to the place and, you know, it's a beautiful resort. And then the first ceremony comes in. I take my first cup, you know?
Yeah.
And
Did you have an intention going into it?
You know, I remember my intention was like, I knew I needed healing.
Yeah.
I just knew I needed healing. And the intention was, I'm just going to be open to whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take my first cup. An hour goes by. Nothing happens. And then, you know, the guy asks who wants to do the second cup. And in true Danny fashion, by the way, I'm the first one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm going to go. And yeah, which was a mistake, but that's okay. But I had to, it wasn't a mistake. It was perfect. It's perfectly planned and orchestrated, right? And I go and I drink, I think, a little too much.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there. I can't believe I'm going to share this. I didn't think I was going to share this with everybody, but I'm going to share. Because I think that it's going to, for the right people, it's going to free you. So I'm laying there, dude. I'm laying there. And all of a sudden, I start going like this. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, flapping my wings. Next thing you know, dude, I'm like a butterfly, like a full force, like a butterfly, yeah, flapping my wings, right? Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now, right? And then I hear a voice that says, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, let's do it, you know? And then I see myself like in a cocoon. Mm-hmm. Like in a cocoon, like if I'm a butterfly in a cocoon, and I'm about to break out of the cocoon. And like, it was as if she was helping me to transform. Mm-hmm. And if my journey was gonna be about transformation, mm-hmm, from the old ego, fear-based Danny to the new loving Danny. And that's where the journey began. But then she just started showing me things about how the world works, how the universe works, how people come into your life. Like, you're here for a reason. You needed to be here, by the way, to help me get this out of me. Because this is something I've been wanting to share with people, but it's like, what are people going to think? They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think, it's okay. It's coming out now. So thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate you for that. And I appreciate you for being a part of my journey. I really, really do. And then that first night, she showed me essentially my mom's mom, the one who died the mm-hmm day after giving birth to my mom, how present she is in my life. She showed me how much she loves me, how much she cares for me, how much she's protecting me and taking care of me. And then that's when like the crazy stuff started happening. I started to think that I was going to die.
How did you feel when you thought you
were? It was the scariest moment of my life.
Did you feel any what emotions, anxiety, fear, worry, doubt?
I felt disappointed in myself.
For what?
That's fucking crazy. I didn't even realize I felt disappointed. I felt disappointed in myself for putting myself in a place where I was going to die.
Fuck, dude. That is, I remember when I was a grandfather, I felt that same way. I said, dude, you don't even know what you just fucking took.
Right.
Your wife said before you go, you don't know what drug you're going to take. Right. Like, be careful. And here I am with these people that are around you that I don't even know.
Right.
I am a junkie. I've hit rock fucking bottom. I'm going to lose my daughter. I'm gonna, dude, I remember the flood.
Dude,
of
I
mushing.
Felt, oh, I God. Felt like I, it's the clearest thing in the world. I was going to die that night. The reality is I did die that night. My old self died that night. And I was looking around. I couldn't trust anybody. I felt as though I had been tricked. Like I was never going to see my kids again. It like broke my heart. I was so disappointed in myself. But again, I needed to feel that, dude. I needed to feel that because she needed to strip me of that control that I had.
Now, how does it feel when you're with your kids?
Oh, it's just that, you know, even before that, it was already different, but I'm just a different guy, dude. I'm just a different guy. I'm just a different guy. Anyhow, that was the first night. That was the, you know, there's more that happened, but that was the toughest night, but she used that to strip me of control. The second night, I had a little game plan, and essentially the second night, I didn't feel anything, which she used that for a purpose as well. Because I was able to see the whole ceremony. I was able to see these are actually really nice people. They genuinely care. They genuinely love me. They're here to protect me, make sure that I'm okay. And then the third night was when I got my breakthrough.
What was your breakthrough?
I had some questions, personal questions. I don't want to get in too deep. I think that's for me. Because there was a lot that kind of happened, but all I can say, I'll share with this. I was reborn that day. I was reborn that day. Yeah. Yeah, it was the probably the greatest day of my life. Probably. Not probably, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your purpose going forward?
That I will say, anybody who's ever watched a podcast or anybody who's ever been to one of my events or been to one of my seminars or anything, I think I would hope that deep inside, people like have always felt that I genuinely cared about them, mm-hmm. that I genuinely had a heart to help them to grow.
Yeah.
So that's not going to change. That can't change. It's just who I am, you know? I think the way in which the message comes through is going to change. I think you can just look on social media, you can just scroll back on Instagram, you can just see where everything had to be perfect and I had to look a certain way and I had to, I just want to come from the heart, dude.
Yeah. And that's the moment when I stopped wearing suits every fucking day of my life.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I kick it in some Nikes and some shorts and yeah. I wear my life shirt and I just don't even, like.
Well, it's just, you just start to realize what's really important and what's not important. And
that connection with other people. Yeah. Like, not just like only feeling connection, but love
yeah.
and connection.
Yeah.
I remember at one point in my ceremony, like, I was just, I thought it was over. I thought I was done. And I remember I just said to the shaman, I said, I'm just going to enroll you guys in supporting me right now, which was so not like me to do. I didn't enroll people to support me. I fucking did it all, right? Like,
right.
I will figure it out, right?
Right.
And I remember this.
Dude, we're so like.
This, all of a sudden, now I can start to say I support others and allow others to support me. And when I could feel that support, I was like, fuck, dude, this feels so good. Like, people here for me as well.
That was part of my breakthrough on the third day.
Oh.
Is that at one point in time, if you could picture, you're in this beautiful like country, right? And there's these beautiful plants everywhere. There was this lady, and her name was Kit Kat. Even that is like, you know, from a fear consciousness, whose name is Kit Kat? Like, that's a weirdo name.
Sounds right? Good, delicious.
Yeah, right. And she was wearing like all white. She was like this beautiful, older, like mid-50s American woman dressed in all white. And anyhow, dude, like I'm laying there. No, I'm walking out. And she had set up little beds for people to lay down and a little pillow and little blankets. And like, and she, you know, they're not allowed to speak to you. So she just goes, and I'm just there and I'm, you know, laying there. And dude, I'm like literally laying there. And I'm laying there watching humans come in and out. Like, this was my breakthrough. This was one of my breakthroughs. And for a guy who had been trying to do everything by himself and for himself, and it was all on him, and if it's gonna be, it's up to me, and all that bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. Which was all defense mechanism. I think I laid there for what felt like an hour and just saw human beings serving each other and helping each other and loving each other. Forget about religion. Forget about everything. This is just at the core of who we are. And I watched it, dude, under these beautiful plants. And I just sat there and I was just like, fuck, man, people are beautiful, dude. Mm-hmm. And like, if you let them, they're here to help you mm-hmm. in their way. Like maybe in my way, it's talking at a seminar. Yeah. But in Kit Kat's way, it was making sure that I was safe and that I was comfortable. And I like, you know, after I came through, I was like, Kit Kat, you changed my life.
Right.
Like, you changed my life. Just showing me like how beautiful it is that you're probably not even getting paid to be here.
Right.
But you're here to help some Hispanic boy from Southern California just because you love humans, you know? And
I think and maybe share this with these guys, like what you've done up to this point, like building the Intero brand, building your coaching company, your skill set. It wasn't in vain.
No. It wasn't in vain. I don't regret anything. As a matter of fact, I think the company's gonna get even stronger. I think everything I do is going to multiply because now it's coming from the heart.
Right.
You know? Now, like, I'll tell you another thing. Like, if people would leave Intero, I'd be mad at them.
Yeah.
Oh. how would you leave me? We're the best, which we really are the best. I mean, I don't say that from ego.
Yeah.
I say that because nobody does what we do.
Right.
Like, whether you agree with it or not, just the fact that I went to Costa Rica to heal myself, to help more people, nobody does. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody teaches the way we teach. Nobody generally cares the way we care. All I'm saying is it was coming from here. Mm-hmm. And if from here we were able to go from zero to a billion and to help people quadruple their income, imagine what can happen now that it's coming from here.
It's gonna be amazing.
It's just gonna be incredible.
Yeah. My guess is your focus, and this is me just guessing, assuming your focus isn't as on like the dollar and the much anymore. It's like who can I go create a difference for? Who can I go facilitate?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the plan going forward to do that?
I think we're doing it already. I think people are going to feel it at Relentless.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are going to be able to touch it, feel it.
Yeah.
I think the daddy they're going to get is like a completely different daddy. I think as a result, the heart and the energy in the room is going to be completely different. You know, I think the real estate company, you know, we're getting ready to start franchising and bring on different partners all across the country. We've got like 5 or 7 of them ready to drop as soon as we're ready to drop. And I think, man, I just envision, you know, from the real estate space, we're going into what is probably going to be a pretty scary time, pretty difficult time. I think people are trying to approach it in so many different ways, Purple Bricks and EXP and all these things.
So you mean the industry?
Yeah, the industry. I think there's a shift coming. And I think that that what we're about to do is help the right people not only survive through that shift, but win through that shift.
Yeah, thrive through. Yeah. Things are shifting with the industry, and it's like we have to constantly innovate.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we have to. If you do it from a place of fear, you're going to get chewed up, swallowed out, and you're going to. It's going to be horrible.
No, we will be stronger than we've ever been.
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead on record and say this. Part of what we're going to do, we're going to shift our model. So we might go from 1.1 billion in sales to 750,000 in sales. But I'll tell you what, we'll be stronger.
Yeah.
And then we'll bounce back. Like we're going to do the Tiger Woods thing. We're going to change the swing a little bit.
Yeah. Well, hopefully not the same way he went through it.
No. We need to change the swing. We need to make adjustments to get us ready for the future.
Yeah. I look at the Mike Fair organization, which has done so much for our industry. But, you know, if I've shown up to one of those events or a Keller Williams, like, family reunion or any of those events, you know what, like, I would always see is just people were there to freaking get hammered, like, drinking and partying, right?
That's always bothered me.
Right.
But that's any of
them. And I don't judge people because I've been there. Like, I've been on Sixth Street, like, at a Keller Williams event, like, drunk out of my mind. But you won't see that space anymore, right? My point is, though, is we need to help heal this industry while still making money.
Great money, yeah.
Great money we'll be able to heal because the money is not the medicine.
No.
It's not. In fact, the money is the drug. Money can be a tool. And what I never, ever got like a production retreat or in like a Keller Williams retreat, I never saw them teaching, well, how do I take this capital that I'm earning?
That's day three of Relentless.
And create financial freedom.
See, but nobody does that.
No one does it.
But can I tell you why? Because that goes against the business model.
Their business model.
We see Mike or Bold or whoever, they don't want you financially free.
Yeah.
Because if you're financially free, guess what happens? You don't need them.
Yeah.
They need you in the grind mode for as long as you possibly can be.
Yeah.
10, 15 years grinding. Every January 1st, it starts all over again. I want to teach the exact opposite.
Start every day at zero.
I want to teach that you can build a business that can operate with or without you.
That can be that. That's where I'm at. Like, and it happens through cash flow management, right? Yeah. Not through spending every dollar we got to put on a facade, to put on a mask. Right. Like I'm successful. Right. Look at me. Give me some awards. Put me on stage. Right.
Right. Right.
It's coming from a space of, hey, you know what? I got to take my profit first, and I got to spend it in something that's going to pay me over and over again.
Absolutely.
I got to obsess over assets.
Absolutely.
Creating them and buying them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. The part of the WJR Academy, that's what, the number two thing is financial freedom, which I always tell people I was financially free by 31, miserable by 32. So even though I was financially free, I realized that like even that wasn't
right
the full gist of it. However, it's so important.
Yeah.
Like if you're financially free, like when I wanted to become financially free, it was so I could travel the world with my kids. I never thought it was because I would heal and end up ending a relationship with my spouse who my belief was I don't get divorced. Like I will fucking find a way to fix
this,
was right?
My belief too.
But then when it happened and I was able to burn that identity to the ground, you know what? Guess what? I can work 3.5 days a week and I can be there to take my daughters to school. I can show up at their dance recital. I can pick them up from school. Yeah. I can play on the monkey bars with my 7-year-old.
Right. Right.
You know, and it's such a beautiful space.
It is, man. It is. I think in closing, this was intense, by the way. Like there were several moments in this that I felt like hot, right? And I think part of it was because for me, I was sharing some really personal things, you know. But I think in closing, if you've been watching this and you've hung through this entire thing, which how many minutes has it been?
It's been about an hour.
It's been about an hour. Are we even going to be able to post this like this? We will? Okay. If you've hung through this entire thing, I want you to know something. I want you to know that there's two forces driving everything that you do. It's love or fear. Love or fear. And I'm telling you from someone who, you know, had the 100,000 Instagram followers, who has 3,000 people coming to events, who, you know, has the $40,000 watch, who has, you know, you name it, the dream house, the everything. If you do all that and it's been coming from fear, you haven't even started the game yet. You haven't even started the game mm-hmm. yet. If you can go and work on yourself and work on your heart and soul and fix some of the issues that you have, which we all have them, then you can be reborn and you can start operating out of love. And if out of love you get all that stuff, then God bless you. But I'll tell you right now, when you're operating from love, you won't want it or need it.
Yeah. It'll show up. Like this.
It'll show up if it wants to. It'll show up if it has to. But what you will find is you will want and need freedom more than anything. And if you can build your business the right way, which we're going to help you build that relentless, and in all of our coaching programs, then life gets really, really fun. We'll end it at that.
What's cool is we're already free.
Yeah.
We're already free at the core.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good. We'll end it at that. Yeah. Cool. Thank you,
dude. I'm so glad.
Yeah.